The Oregon Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue is called to order. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start off with a work session on Senate Bill 26. Senator Boquist.
Okay, hit the gavel. Work session, right?
We are in a work session on Senate Bill 26.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 26 as written to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 26 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. To your motion, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In committee, I'll be a no vote as I review. It seems to me that there's some counties want to do more, some counties want to do less, and so I'm still reviewing the bill. So I'll be a no vote in committee, Mr. Chair.
So any other discussion on this bill? Okay, so the motion is on Senate Bill 26 without any amendments to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Could you please call the roll?
Senator Brodtjegger?
Yes.
Senator Edwards?
Excuse.
Yeah, Senator Riley?
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Hass?
Hass votes aye. Measure passes. Senator Brodtjegger will carry the bill. Opening up a public hearing on Senate Bill 161. Kyle's here to give us a quick overview.
Mr. Chair, anytime Kyle comes here, it gets complex.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 161 can really be thought of in almost two parts. The first relates to allowing county tax collectors to electronically file warrants for delinquent property taxes on business personal property, and they would file these electronically with the Secretary of State, who would then have to mark, hold, and index the filed warrants in accordance with the provisions of the Universal Commercial Code, UCC. The Secretary of State may charge a fee for this, and this fee could be passed on through the tax collectors onto the warrant. So it'd be paid by the person who has the delinquent property taxes. The second part of the bill, if you will, relates to sellers of business personal property being required to provide purchaser of the property with disclosure notice that includes whether property taxes were assessed against the property, there are liens against the property, or if there's liens in other counties, to the best of the seller's knowledge, so if they're aware of those things. And it does give the option, or would create a bona fide purchaser. So if a bona fide purchaser meets certain requirements, they would get that standard, and then they would have the past due taxes could be not applicable to them, but they'd still be personally responsible. The previous owner would be.
All right. Let's call up Senator Whitsitt and Scott Jorgensen to explain to us the problem that this bill seeks to fix.
Thank you, Chair House, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Senator Doug Whitsitt, representing District 28, which is Klamath, Crook, most of Lake, Deschutes, and Jackson counties. Mr. Chair, the problem that Senate Bill 161 is attempting to address is seemingly pretty simple. Under current law, Oregon personal property taxes follow the property ownership. In the event that the personal property is not paid, a personal property tax lien is attached to the personal property. That lien, as well as any accumulated penalties and interest, are payable by whoever owns the property. Currently, when a personal property item is purchased, there is no existing adequate way for the purchaser to determine if an existing personal property tax lien is attached. The tax lien may or may not be recorded in the county where the tax was incurred. Further, no method currently exists to search the other 35 counties for the existence of a personal property tax lien on the equipment. This situation almost always occurs during the purchase of used business equipment. Once the personal property is acquired, the new owner is liable for all of the unpaid personal property taxes on the equipment, as well as accumulated penalties and interest. An example might be helpful to clarify the problem. Let's say a Lane County resident purchases a metal lathe at an auction in Deschutes County. The previous owner of the metal lathe is a resident of Malheur County, where he has failed to pay personal property taxes on the metal lathe. Malheur County has established a tax lien on the metal lathe. The property tax lien may or may not be properly recorded in Malheur County, but certainly is not recorded in either Deschutes or Lane County. Nevertheless, the new owner of the lathe incurs the liability to pay the unpaid personal property tax, as well as all accrued penalties and interest, when he purchases the lathe. The solution is a good deal more complex. We worked extensively with the Department of Revenue, Secretary of State, county clerks, county tax collectors, and legislative council to craft a solution. So what Senate Bill 161 does is it creates a searchable property tax lien file in the Office of the Secretary of State. It authorizes but does not require county tax collectors to file the personal property tax lien with the Secretary of State. It requires the seller of personal property to disclose unpaid personal property taxes or the existence of a personal property tax lien on the equipment. It provides that if a good faith search for a tax lien fails to discover the tax lien, the purchaser falls under the bona fide purchaser provisions and does not owe the back taxes, penalties, and interest. It provides that the owner of the property at the time the unpaid tax was levied remains liable to pay the taxes, interest, and penalties that actually occurred during the time that he owned the property. The bill also authorizes partial settlement payments to be negotiated between the current owner and the county tax collector for less than the full amount of taxes, interest, and penalty owed. Currently, that's not possible under the law. Any amount not paid by the settlement agreement remains owed by the original owner who failed to pay the personal property tax. And finally, in the event that the tax collector is successful in collecting the full amount of the tax, interest, and penalties owed by the owner at the time the taxes were levied, any payment made in the negotiated settlement will be refunded to the new property owner. Mr. Chair, committee members, we believe that this bill resolves a long-standing inequity in Oregon tax law. No one should be forced to pay taxes incurred by someone else. Certainly, they should not be forced to pay those taxes when there is no adequate way to determine if taxes, interest, and penalties are owed prior to the purchase. Mr. Chair, I would be remiss in not thanking Legislative Counsel Alan Dale for his exceptional effort on this measure. He really went beyond the pall on this one. We urge you to move this bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Scott, did you have
anything? William Scott Jorgensen. Chief of Staff, State Senator Doug Whitsitt. It's an honor to be here, Chairman Haas and members of the committee.
Okay. Senator, I'm supportive of just, but devil's advocate question, what is the protection here from someone partnering with someone else to get out of their tax liability by doing a sale to one another?
Mr. Chair, I don't know how that would happen. Perhaps I don't understand the question well enough, but this bill provides that the person who acquired the property tax lien or acquired the property tax that they owe at the time that they own the equipment remains as a payer of that lien. So I'm not sure how going into a partnership or an LLC or an LLP or anything like that would change that, because as I recall, the bill specifically says that that he who owned the property at the time the tax was levied continues to own the property, continues to owe the tax until it's paid.
Okay. Did this come about as an actual case? Is there a story behind this bill?
Actually, it did. Scott, would you like to tell the story?
Yes. So our office was contacted, Chairman Haas, members of the committee, by the Jackson County Assessor, Josh Gibson, and this stems from a case involving a small business in Grants Pass. And they'd looked into it for a while, and we ended up doing quite a bit of research as well. where they were stuck in this position of having to pay retroactive taxes, penalties, fees, and interests that they themselves had no business in acquiring. And so we set about in search of a solution. And like the senator said, Allendale Legislative Council was absolutely instrumental in bringing all the different stakeholders together. And the work groups were tremendous. We'd set aside 3 hours to hash everything out, and it would usually only take 1 hour, and would be completely done and have consensus achieved. In fact, I commented at the end of one of them that this is the most fun I ever thought I'd have in a room full of tax collectors. So.
Other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, just for the record, I mean, I can think of two complaints. I've got one from farmers, same exact story. They sold it across county lines. Nobody knew there was a UCC loan, Traco, so on and so forth. So I understand the problem. But I guess my question is, for the good senator, since he's not a big government guy, was there not a possible solution that was a little bit more short in terms of, okay, whoever owned it at the time of the taxes is liable, end of subject? I mean, now we're going to create a let the Secretary of State look like create an IT project, and I'm guessing that there's a story why we can't just simply say that guy's it, go collect it. So what's the?
Not surprisingly, it's if you have real property, you can put a tax lien on the property. That property doesn't go anywhere; it stays in the same place. Personal property moves around, and that's right. Is my understanding. That's why the tax lien is attached to the property. So it's very difficult for the Department of Revenue to go back and find the original owner and collect from them, and they may not have any method to collect because the lien is actually on the personal property, which they no longer own. So the department was very reluctant, the Department of Revenue was very reluctant to go down that route because they would lose revenue, as were the county tax collectors. So the idea here is to shift it so that the original owner of the property maintains their liability, and that there's a vehicle for the new purchaser to actually find out if there's a lien on that property ahead of time and prevent the situation from happening. If it does happen and the search isn't complete, then it gives the tax collector the leeway now to negotiate a partial settlement, get it off the books, and the remainder of that, whatever the remainder of that tax that might still be owed, is still owed by the original person that owned the property at the time the tax lien was established, if they can find them and if they can collect it. And if they can, they will refund what the new owner paid.
Your follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Senator Boquist.
Yeah, I got that. My problem is the fiscal side of this thing and creating the IT project and all of that. Because, I mean, you're a former veterinarian. You know, you had property that you unfortunately had to file just like I did. You know, you have to file with the county. Here's the list. Here's the taxes. So it seemed to me that at the original point of the lien or at the original point of the tax filing, like in my case, you know, you have this list of equipment. The county knows exactly what it is. They assess the deal. The county sends you a bill for it if you don't pay for it. I clearly understand how the solutions here. I'm just a little concerned that when the fiscal comes back, the department, everybody else is all going to put this laundry list of stuff up there of what's it going to cost to do this. And I'm not sympathetic to the Department of Revenue at all in their deals. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand that, and we have talked at length, Senator, regarding that, and it's my understanding that any fiscal will be minimal on the part of the Secretary of State and the Department of Revenue. That was my understanding. Now, whether that is what comes down or not, it will be a different deal. But it's my understanding that the Secretary of State believes that they have the capacity to add this to their system without major overhaul. The Department of Revenue does not believe that it's going to be a major hit on their income and for the, you know, the revenue of the state, and that it actually gives them more tools to collect the back taxes.
I guess we shall see. I guess we shall see.
Yes.
I agree 100% with you. It's just I can only imagine what might come out of this.
Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee, these are some of the concerns that were addressed in the work groups for this, and a lot of the counties and the Secretary of State's office is moving in this direction anyway. And this was done in a way that it could actually prove as a useful tool. prior versions of this same concept had been opposed in the past by the county clerks because nobody asked for their input, but we brought them in as part of the process as well. So it is a tool that they could use that would actually make their lives easier. And the overall purpose is to take the sting out of the buyer beware aspect.
Right.
In this case, the business owners over there in Grants Pass have been in business for a while, so they're not new to this, but what was new to them was, as it is, this particular piece of business equipment went through three sets of owners, where you had the original owners had sold it to a second party who incurred the taxes and then reverted back to the original owners. The second set of owners are now in Las Vegas, beyond the jurisdictional reach of these agencies. And then by the time it got to the third set of owners, they were on the hook for the taxes, where these other folks are sitting in Vegas who had actually accrued the taxes, penalties, fees, and interest.
And spent the money in Vegas, too.
Well, thank you. We have the county's...
I have a question.
Oh, Senator Bertschinger.
Senator Whitsitt, you know, I understand it. You know, January 1 is a very important day for personal property, because on that day, that one day, it's who owns it and where is it at. And I just don't see this working, because you can move that equipment around, you can change ownerships, none of the assessors validate the equipment. It's pretty much, you know, you just fill out the form, you put the equipment, there's no serial numbers to speak of. I don't see how they're going to enforce it. I really don't. I think we should look at whoever owes the personal property tax, we treat it as a garnishment, just like we do if you owe income tax. Because you can move, if it's out of state this year, don't have to pay taxes on it in Oregon. If I have it out of state on January 1, bring it back in Oregon on January 2nd, no property tax. This game has been going on. Same with counties. You move it from county to county because some county assessors don't have the resources, so they basically don't do it. So you take your equipment and you don't even have to move it there. You just say it's there. This has been going on for years and years and years, and I just don't see how you're ever gonna beat this game unless you hold the individual that owns the taxes. You know.
Chair Hess, Senator Bertschinger, the scope of this bill was not to revamp personal property taxes. The scope of this bill was to address the issue of someone acquiring a tax lien and the penalties and interest when you buy the property with no method of knowing that in advance. Yes, there's no question that you can, people have been avoiding taxes for years, and this doesn't address that issue. It's not intended to address that issue. This is intended to address the specific issue of acquiring a piece of property and not without being able to know that property, that there was a property tax lien on that when you purchased it. I think there's certainly some question in my mind, as well as I'd say as many in the room, about how efficacious and how fair a personal property tax is because of the ability to avoid it. We weren't trying to address that. We were trying to address one specific issue.
I guess what I'm saying, Senator Whitsitt, is wouldn't it be easier when there's a tax owed, instead of putting a lien on the equipment, you put the lien on the person and go after them just like you would if they owned income taxes? Because even if a person owns income taxes in this state and moves to another state, still have the ability to go get them. I think that would be, then the equipment would always be clean. You wouldn't have to worry about any of this.
Perhaps. Good luck if you try to do that. But what we were trying to do is, again, to address a specific issue, and I think we have addressed that issue. The entire issues of the personal property tax, I'm sure we could spend a whole session trying to sort that out. This bill actually does revert the unpaid tax back to the owner of the property at the time that the tax was incurred. It does not provide a meaningful way for the Department of Revenue to collect that tax, because it doesn't put a lien on their real property. It refers to the obligation, but it doesn't give the department an opportunity to put a lien on something that they could actually take. And that is that was something that was discussed at length, and no clear resolution came out of that discussion.
Again, I think what's going to get complicated in here is all is serial numbers, how to identify the equipment, because you know personal property there, it can be computers, it can be desks, it can be minor, it can be a lot of things that don't have any type of identification on it. And I don't know how I've had lots of UCC filings over the years that I have filed. And if you don't have a good way to track it, then you don't have an argument. You can do blanket UCCs, but if you don't like heavy equipment, you might if the people write down the right serial number. If you're one number off, you go to court, and the judge says, well, it's probably not the one, because it's one number off. So I don't know. I got to look at the bill some more.
Why don't we
bring up the county people, tax collectors, and if I may. Thank you.
Thank you.
Diane Belt, and I will also bring up Jan Meekums. I know you're not. Yeah, they're here, but you're on the same side.
We're on the same side. Good morning, Chair Haas and committee members. My name's Diane Belt. I am the tax collection supervisor for Washington County, but I'm here today in my capacity as president of the Oregon Association of County Tax Collectors. I'd like to thank Senator Wisenit for kind of explaining the issue to you, but I think I need to pull you back on track because we've kind of gotten off personal property. I can tell you that in my many years of doing this, if we're going to come to you with a bill, it's probably going to be about personal property. We need to remember that personal property is voluntary, so not all businesses actually file their returns as required. So some of the counties, our county in particular, has two auditors that we actually go out and look for businesses. We actually have a collector that collects the personal property. The Department of Revenue does not collect it. The county tax collector does. So basically what happens with personal property is on January 1, there is a lien on everything that you have in your possession. And so that is a personal. You're required to file that return by March the 1st. Then the bill comes out almost a whole year later. So, yes, that equipment, a lot of things can happen between the assessment date and the lien date. We do have a provision in statute that if we know about a sale, we can calculate that tax and do what is called an advance demand to ask that the parties clear that debt before the sale. That does happen. Not all the time because we don't know about all the sales of the property. But in this particular case, what kind of happened was, as was explained, it went from about three different places. And personal property, we need to understand, it's a lien against the equipment, and it's also a lien against the debtor or the owner of that property that owned it on January 1st. So a new purchaser of that equipment isn't personally liable for it, but the tax lien does not go away on that equipment. So that's what we're attempting to collect, is the lien on the equipment. So in this particular case, there were about three different ways this property went, and that does happen quite a bit. We do a lot of outreach to our businesses to try to talk to them about getting the returns filed, paying the taxes, and also if there's a sale, to be sure that they contact the county so that we also know there's a sale involved. I've always thought we should be able to record with the UCC, and the reason is, and this isn't creating a new lien registry, this is just allowing us to record our warrant that we have already recorded with the county clerk in UCC, because 9 times out of 10, when I get a phone call from somebody that says, But I checked UCC. Well, that's fine. We don't record in UCC. We record with the county. So this is a very important thing to us because it does get the lien out there so that if somebody in Klamath County is buying some equipment that somebody is selling in Jackson County, they can go check UCC. And if the county has recorded that warrant with UCC, they're going to pick it up and they're going to know. The other thing that personal property doesn't have is a bona fide purchaser process. As a tax collector, it's really hard to go to the person that just bought this equipment that's got $5,000 worth of delinquent taxes on it. Even though they're personally not responsible, the lien on that equipment means that I can either seize it and sell it, and that's going to be my remedy. Or, of course, we try to go after the person who was the debtor or it was the one that was responsible. But if they're in Las Vegas, it's hard for me to cross the county state lines. I can garnish, but I can't garnish in Nevada. So the next step would be for us to seize the equipment. That's where the problem, that's where the rub is. But if we had a bona fide purchaser process like this creates, then it gives me as a tax collector an opportunity to work with the purchaser of that property, because now the law says I can, where the law said that I either had to seize the equipment or get it from the owner of the equipment. So for us, this is a real plus. It's something that we've felt was needed for a long time.
Did I hear you say, did I correctly hear you say that it's voluntary? What part of voluntary? So
the personal property return, Senator Haas, the personal property return, we find people that haven't filed for years and we can go back and add them to the tax roll.
Well, what would be the incentive then for someone to go ahead and make this information public or register or do whatever is required?
Because if it's discovered, we go back current plus 5, and then there's a 50% penalty.
Oh, well, that's the hammer.
That doesn't sound voluntary, but.
Senator Riley.
I have a different question. you say you've wanted this UCC filing for a long time, and yet this bill makes it voluntary and not mandatory to do that filing. Do you think it should be mandatory?
Senator Haas, Representative Riley, no, because I'm not going to, there's a threshold. If your value, I think this year, is under $16,500, you don't pay a tax. I am probably, as a county, going to look at a $300 tax bill that didn't get paid, and I'm probably not going to spend the additional funds because I've already spent $102 to record the warrant. I'm probably not going to take and record it with UCC. I mean, that's why we wanted it to be in May. If you're in another county, a smaller county, yeah, you probably will want to record that. I won't. We have a very robust collection process. Out of the $33 million tax roll, our cancellations this year is about 57,000. Most of that's due to bankruptcy filings. So for me, if it's a $3,000 or $4,000 lien, yes, I am going to record that. But anything under that, I'm probably going to look at it. But that's why we asked for a may, not a shall.
Senator Burchard.
Yeah, I still don't think we're going to solve the problem with this. I understand the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, because now you're going to have to educate buyers and equipment dealers about looking at UCC, because usually the only people that you look at UCC filings is a financial institution that's going to lend money on a piece of equipment. And then there's that identification. As you well know, it's voluntary. You get the form, you fill it out, and how whatever it says on that form, how you validate the piece of equipment, I don't think this is, I understand the problem. I just don't think this bill is going to fix it. I'm sorry.
Senator Haas, Senator Bear Sugar, that's a good point. When the returns come in, I know our county, and we have a lot of returns. We have quite a few accounts. Mm-hmm. We're in the process right now validating all those returns that come in. If I'm looking at a return, and, well, I don't, but if they're looking at a return and there's an office facility and they don't have a phone system listed, we're going to be calling them and sending it back and tell them that it's an insufficient filing. So there's certain criteria. If it's a restaurant or if it's a hair salon, they know what should be there. And as we audit those returns, there will be a contact asking the owner for additional information. Are we 100%? Absolutely not. And that's part of the problem with personal property. But, you know, unless you want to do a major rewrite, it becomes extremely...
Oh, I know.
You know, but for us, this is a plus because, to be honest with you, we're talking about a handful of accounts. And I would have to tell you that you'd be surprised. Just about every call we get from an attorney or a person that purchased, they did go to UCC. The auctioneers go to UCC. Everybody goes to UCC. They never come to see us. Then it's difficult for us to collect because the equipment has then vanished or it's been dissipated to different entities. But I can tell you in our county, we do go after those, and we have collected because I can tell somebody on this particular piece of equipment, that's the tax penalty and interest that's due, and we have collected it. But we're fortunate in our county in that we have a very aggressive collection program, and we try to stay on top of these. Not all counties have that capability. That's why any tool that we can have that helps us deal with these people, because I'll tell you, I hate telling somebody that just bought a business that's got a $25,000 tax lien on it, guess what? Because the law doesn't give me a lot of leeway, and that's one thing that we've always needed is a way to deal with these folks just like you would with real property. There's a bona fide purchaser process with real property. We need one with personal as well.
Follow up.
Senator Barchier.
Well, yeah, I work with our assessor. We've had long discussions over the personal property. It is tough. Now, you just made a statement that may not be correct, and that's if you buy a business, you wouldn't know if it had it. Yes, you would. I was been a business broker for years, and if you file it at the county clerk's office, it would show up that there was a lien on the business. So that's probably not a good statement. But any individual piece of equipment, I understand the struggle, and with the smaller counties, they don't have the resources for enforcement. They simply don't. Just don't have it.
Yeah, Senator Hass, Senator Bearsugar, that's correct. That's why this is important. But yeah, all counties record their warrants with the county clerk. The problem is most businesses don't know that that's, or sellers don't know that's where you go check for warrants.
Well, if you're selling a business, you go through an escrow process.
Senator Hass, Senator Bearsugar, no, you don't. A lot of them, there's a lot of private attorneys and whatnot that do it. You don't have to go through a title company for us. Some do. We like it when they do that because the title company picks it up. But if they go through a private party, if it's just a mom and pop and they just do a transaction, we don't have a lot of leeway.
Somebody has to write the contract. And if it's an attorney will make sure that, because that'll just come back on the attorney. But anyways, I understand the problem. I don't know if this is the solution.
Okay. Jan, you have...
Thank you, Chairman Hass and members of the committee. For my record, my name is Jan Meekums. I'm the state director for NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, and we have 7,000 small business members in the state. And this... Actually, I got a call from a member of ours a couple of years ago that this did impact, and it was really a problem for them, and it was a significant amount of money, and they'd bought the piece of equipment and, of course, followed the equipment. They knew nothing about it when they bought the equipment. So I was part of the work group that met to come up with the solution. It was really, as was already stated, a very productive work group. It's not a perfect piece of legislation. I don't think any of us have seen that yet, but it does address a specific problem in being able to create a bona fide purchaser. And I hope that Peter Threckel from the Corporation Division will come up and also address how this would be handled in the Secretary of State's office, and that would be almost a seamless process from what I understand, and I'm not the expert, to include this in that process. And the ability of a small business owner who often purchases used equipment, maybe not in the form of a complete business, but in the form of a substantial piece of singular equipment, who maybe would check that county, but would not know to check all 36 counties, it would protect that individual. And for that reason, NFIB is supportive of this piece of legislation.
Questions? Okay. Thank you. Thank you both. Because they're here, the Secretary of State's office, maybe you can come up and just answer the questions on the financial capabilities of this in your office. And we know there's a new sheriff in town.
Soon to be.
Soon to be.
Sheriff in town. Chair Haas, members of the committee, I'm Peter Threlkow, the Director of the Corporation Division for the Secretary of State's office. We also participated in the work group. Would like to address the questions that Senator Boquist had for the need for an IT project. That was a couple of bienniums ago. So I already have the IT system in place. I have an electronic filing capability. When we worked with the Legislative Council, part of my goal was to make sure that we were able to draft this bill in such a way that I was able to keep my costs to the absolute barest minimum. When you do transactions with the Secretary of State, a lot of what our costs are driven around are transaction-based. So when I have to have staff come in or have staff process documents, this bill actually avoids that situation for us. So because the counties file the liens directly into my system electronically, I don't have any staff costs that I have to associate with these new filings coming in. We also don't have or don't plan to have a transaction cost. What we're looking to do, because we're going to host the system for the counties, we're looking at providing a subscription service model. So where we would not in this current biennium or in the biennium this goes into effect, but we would look at by rule in a later biennium setting a fee. And at this point, I wouldn't imagine that would exceed $500 per year per county. But what we'd like to be able to do is gain some experience how this is working, how the counties are succeeding in doing the filings, and be able to then determine what's an appropriate fee. But I wouldn't see that it exceeding $500 per county per year.
Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Understand the subscription fee service in that direction. It's the other end of this, because as I well know, and I think as you well know that I well know, is the Secretary of State's really a big librarian. You have all these filings and everything else, and when it comes to enforcement, it's, as Senator Bertschiger said, it's, you know, you got to go get the lawyer, take the information you have, you know, go in, hope the serial numbers, all this sort of stuff is right. But I mean, good to know that the subscription fee on the back end side. What about on the front end side? How do you perceive that working, or any changes from the day? So Mr. Warner is going to go buy a piece of equipment, and he's going to buy it from Ms. Meekum, and so they go check. So how for in the future, if this bill passes, how do you see that working?
Chair Haas, Senator Boquist, it would work exactly like our system today, whether you were searching for a UCC filing or a revenue warrant or an employment warrant that those state agencies file. You would come in, you would go to our website at the Secretary of State, go to the UCC search engine, and you would type in the debtor's name, and you would do a search, and it would bring back results that showed any debtors that matched that search result. And this would be essentially would what I would call a county warrant. And so it would provide the information that the county had filed into the system, so you would know the debtor, the address, and the county where they were filed, and the amount that was owed, because that'll all be part of the system and the data that's entered by the county. But basically it just comes back to that that UCC search engine is the way that we make that a public record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So I'll give you a little scenario what I was talking about. I need to buy some equipment. I go to an equipment auction. I need four pieces of equipment. I need a backhoe, a dump truck, a grader, and a dozer. Okay? There's 3,000 pieces of equipment there at that auction. I have no idea which ones I'm going to bid on until they roll across the block. Okay? How am I going to do a UCC filing or a search on the pieces that I purchase?
Chair House, Senator Bart Sugar, you need to know the owner so that you can search.
I said we have 3,000 pieces. I have no idea which ones I'm going to bid on. Okay, it just depends on what when they go across the auction block, which ones I'm going to bid on. You don't have time. You can't say, "Oh, time out, auction. I got to see if this has a UCC filing on it." That's not the real world.
Is that not something that the auction house would have a responsibility to do?
Okay. That was my question.
Yeah, my experience, unless Senator Bertram has.
Senator Brokers.
Yeah. Not all the time.
Yeah, they refuse to give it to you until the bill of sale.
That's not good.
Senator Edwards.
That was my question. Or if anybody else in the audience has experience with I've bought equipment at auctions, but I've never sold equipment at auctions. So,
and then you may have the disagreement with the counties because a lot of equipment is exempt, like agriculture equipment, some logging equipment and stuff like that is exempt. And sometimes there's a beef going on with the county and they're arguing over the exemption and everything. It goes on and on. I've been drug across the coals several times with this.
Chair, I do have a question.
Senator Brokers.
And Secretary of State, I'm guessing the Secretary of State doesn't know this, but it just jumped up to mind. I mean, if you come out of agricultural deferment, like on a property tax, you have to pay 5 to 7 years back. And it just dawned on me. I don't buy at auctions for exactly the reason Senator Bertschinger said, despite it being a good deal, because they don't give you the name. Now, Ms. Meekum and Mr. Warner, in that sale, you know the name, you can track that down. But my question is there if you have a piece of equipment that's exempt, because the equipment's exempt based on usage.
Right.
So if you take theoretically a piece of forestry or agricultural exempt machinery out, and then you use it for a different purposes, is there a back tax situation here? I don't know, and maybe someone will have to come back and answer that. I don't know if there is or not.
Okay. Coming back to the witness stand is Diane Bell from Washington County.
Senator Hass, committee members.
Tax collection.
Diane Belt with the Tax Collectors Association. No. if something changes use, it was exempt and not taxable, we don't do a look back. They do a look back for a deferral when you have your property in deferral for farming or timber, then that would be a payback when it's disqualified. But this is basically when you have equipment that's exempt and like the sensitive forestry stuff, maybe they move it out, move it into something else. No, there isn't a look back. Whoever owns it on January 1st of that year should be responsible to file the return and declare that tax. But when it comes to the auction companies, the auctioneer knows who that equipment came from because they sometimes paid them for it or they're collecting the money for it. So they know. They know where it came from.
Senator Boquist.
Most auctions that I've participated in large scale, you can't find out the owner until such time you purchase it. That's just fact. That's from the business side. Second point, just to make, we the state do a terrible job of collecting. Over in rules, we're working on $3.2 billion. Now, why rules has a $3.2 billion bill to figure out how to collect back stuff? How government works and how the private sector works, dramatically different, unfortunately, colleagues. So, I mean, this is a solution, but it's, I think, maybe only one solution of a way forward.
Okay. Thank you both. And thanks again to Alan Dale for his good work in helping this along. We'll stay tuned. We have nothing else on the agenda. So we will adjourn.
Close the hearing.
So we will adjourn.
Close the hearing.